Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode number 440, Groundhog Day. Is it Groundhog's Day? Groundhog Day. All right. As of the recording of the introduction, I'm still confused. But I dig the 440 number. Nice, clean, even number. And I rewatched Groundhog Day. And I didn't have the, hey, I'm different, so maybe my experience, didn't have that in my consciousness at all. But that's exactly what happened. And it was a little, I don't know, it was kind of like a joyful experience watching that movie and seeing kind of what Bill Murray's character was going through and how similar it was to, you know, my current experience. But a bunch of things to share about being content, why I'm content, and what we're going through as far as when we go through things that are challenging, how beneficial those moments are, and trying to find the ability, the awareness to embrace that we're going to grow through those times. So it doesn't have to be that scary. And when you get a couple of those moments in your life, you have hindsight. And you look back going, wow, you know, when I really, really grew the most, it is when I was challenged the most. And you get to have that then affect the rest of your journey. And I'm just kind of fired up on that, on you know, just that concept of just building that momentum, feeling good, doing better. You went from a 6 to a 7, and there's that momentum, and now you've got historical data, and in hindsight, you can apply this, and you can apply that, and, you know, doing A got you B, so if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And to me, it's simplistic. These are all, you know, a lot harder to do, execute. But on paper, it's like, oh, okay, it's not like these, you know, physics or science or chemistry or anything. And I'm just sharing things that I'm going through and the things that I'm doing consistently. And one of the biggest things I share is about how I'm not critiquing myself and I'm not judging myself because I'm not perfect. I'm not going to have perfect moments, but the ability to just let that go. Oh, I had a bad day. Didn't. Who cares? I'll be great tomorrow. That's like a brand new experience and something I really wanted to share because I feel like all my clients are still just too negative. You know, they're too critical and they're too judgmental. They haven't quit. They're still going. They haven't given up. They're, you know, continuing to search for the, you know, the better version of themselves. That's winning. You're in the end zone. Yay, have that vista, have that perspective. You know, be your biggest champion. And that's what 2020 was. It was like, hey, Tom likes Tom, and poof, best year ever. And that's continued. Therefore, that's gotten stronger. And everything that you do that, you know, makes you feel good and you get repetitive with is only going to continue to get, you know, stronger. So it's kind of a successful podcast episode, sharing my success, the levels of success, the different things of success, but then one of the most important things dealing with success is redefining what success is. And I have a very great quote from a podcast that I listened to about that. And it really, like, again, the eye-opening things. So, you know, I inadvertently was blocked from social media, and next thing you know, I'm meditating. Next thing you know, I'm listening to a podcast. Next thing you know, I'm reading more, you know, journaling, writing, you know, just, and I, you know, did I decide to go off social media? No. But I responded, and I've been responding like that for a long way, and I've not given up on me. So here I am, in which I feel is totally the end zone, but I feel like so many other people are there, they're just not aware of it. And you got to become your biggest fan, your best cheerleader. You know, you have to become the person that, you know, just really champions you more than anyone, because it is on you. It's all on you. And I talk about a client, and we had a real, you know, kind of sit down moment. And I'm like, it is on you. You. And if you don't do it, it is on you. So One of the things I felt right before the podcast recording this episode was how great I felt having the podcast, coming to the kind of the, you know, the clarity of, look, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do me. I'm going to share my story. That's what I've done. That's how I got here. That's what I'm going to continue to do. That gave me more peace, and that it just continues to be this journey of contentment by the choices that I choose to make, which I think that everyone else should make. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, please holler out proupodcast@gmail.com because I'm no longer on social media. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and enjoy. Episode number 440. I really like that number. I don't know. It just sounds like a cool number. I was kind of stoked on getting to like 500. I mean, not it just, you know, entering my mind, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, I should be able to get there. But, you know, going once a week, obviously I would have got there a lot sooner. And now, you know, it's kind of trickling by, and I thought, you know, it's going to take longer, but I got my dry erase board out and wrote down 440, and I just like that number. So before we get into Groundhog Day, I was part of my morning ritual, foam rolling, playing with Zen, and then when he gets, well, then he eats, and then I give him a treat, and then he goes back to playing. And right about then is when I meditate. So it's in between that, I have this thought enter my mind. And it was, you know, because I don't, like, purposely think. I'm just always in my head. I'm always thinking, and, you know, it's, you know, like that. I love the phrase about clouds, you know, feelings, thoughts, they're clouds, just, you know, look at them, observe them, experience them, let them pass. So I wasn't, you know, trying to think of anything. You know, I had my notes for the podcast, so I wasn't trying to drum up any content. And I just had just fed Zen. And I'm not really sure why. After being hurt this last time, and as he healed, you know, he got more, well, just a quick update. Like, he's really, really good. Like, when a dog jumps up, you know, they have to first kind of jump up with their front legs and then spring off their back. And because Zen's front paw was, you know, tweaked, and that's what this past kind of injury was. You know, he just certain things, like he wouldn't jump up on me. There's times when I'd be sitting on the ground, he would jump up and put his front paws on my shoulders to give him booty scratches. And, well, just for an example, when we go to the puppy store, there's this little ledge built into the corner of the where you pay, where dogs jump up and then they put their front paws on the counter to get treats. And Zen, you know, obviously jump up there all the time. And it's not that high. But we were there like a week or two ago, and he just jumps up. And, you know, so now I see him, you know, just kind of doing more when he's elevating his front paws. So I know he's really, really, like, healed. I think what it was wasn't anything, you know, like the arthritis and all that stuff getting bad. I mean, obviously it's not better. But I think it was as he just really re-injured it, and we just never let it heal completely. But now because it's healed, I just see it. But it's like these physical things he's doing that he hasn't done in years. So I'm like, wow, he's really, 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 you know, feeling good. But about, you know, I want to say like about a month ago, I would go, you know, are you hungry? And he jumps up with his paws and he does that kind of Godzilla thing. And he just kind of goes hopping into the kitchen, and he turned like he's all excited to eat. And I'm like, okay. And I just started laughing. Well, this has continued. Like every morning when it's time to eat, he kind of stops playing and kind of walks up to me and looks. And I'm like, do you want to eat? Are you hungry? Do you want some food? And he just starts jumping up and down and all excited for them. And it might be he gets a treat after that, and he loves the treats, but he gets so excited. And now, again, this has been going on, you know, a while, and I'm not capturing it, and I'm not sharing it on social media. It's just him and I in these, you know, beautiful little moments. So I go to feed him, and he's all excited, and I give him his treats, and he starts playing again, and I'm just about ready to, I think, start meditating or something, and it's in my head going, I love how content I am. Like it completely filled me up, made me laugh when my dog ate food. Like, totally present. Nothing else in my head. Got no worries, no concerns, no doubt, no fear. Again, I always want to asterisk, I'm not perfect. I have bad days. I have bad moments. But I just felt that, like, I think that's one of the best things is just that contentment. Because I can feel when I'm talking to people what they're trying to accomplish, what they're trying to achieve, what they're going through. And I can feel that. And that's kind of this different thing where I'm, you know, more and more in the middle of Hollywood, and no one that I know or nearby is, you know, kind of walking the path I am. And that's not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying it's just different. So these little moments I have are, you know, like to me, that's what's on my table. You know, that's what's on my plate. That's what's between the space between my ears. And I think this was a book I was reading that, oh yeah, no. It was a podcast. I'm actually listening to I just started listening to a second podcast, and I think it's on purpose, but it's with Jay Shetty. Shetty, and I used to follow him on Instagram, and I kind of liked, you know, what, you know, his content was. And then Mosher sent me a podcast, and it was actually Jay Shetty on another podcast, but I think he played the same episode or whatever. But he was just saying that, I mean, at 21, this dude became a monk, and he was one for 3 years, and it's kind of his story. And then he went from that to this next thing to this next thing, and but he said all along he had two kind of clear intentions. One was to purify himself. I think that's kind of the word he used, but it was, you know, just to keep kind of pursuing, evolve, but in a very specific, you know, spiritual way. And then the other thing was to be of service for others. And that was kind of his game plan. And I thought, wow, to be so successful and yet have such a simplistic, you know, mindset of here's the two things I'm going to pursue. But yet, you know, at 21, like, that's a big thing. I'm going to become a monk. And, you know, and go to it. And then one of the other cool things, not to get off target here, but, you know, he said, you know, everything I did it because that was the thing I wanted to do. It wasn't because, oh, then I'm going to start making videos. Oh, and then I'm going to go on social media. And, oh, then I'm going to have a big following. Oh, and then I'm going to become an author. And, oh, then I'm going to, you know, he just, you know, didn't do any of that. It was just the thing he was doing at that time was because he wanted to put his time and energy into that thing. Not that was, okay, so that's step one, then that's going to get me to step two and three. He didn't think like that at all, and I love that. I think that's kind of why I'm digging the podcast. So that's what kind of hit me, was I was sitting there, and I'm like, well, why do you feel content? And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, said before, you know, my purpose. I'm a, you know, I'm a trainer. I have a podcast. You know, just kind of the things I do. But this is what hit me this morning. Was one. Was I'm going to take care of Zen. Two, I'm going to continue to work on me. And then the other thing that I do is, like, you know, I like to help people. I be of service, you know, in a sense. And, you know, when I'm listening to that Stoic podcast, he'll talk about this and that, and he'll say, oh, but this stuff here is always for free. You know, it's like there's people that, you know, obviously are doing things to make money, but yet not everything they're doing is to make money. You can see how they're offering their time, their energy to simply help people. And one guy was on a podcast, this Gary Vee, and he was, you know, pretty, I mean, very powerful dude. Like, what he had done was huge. So he got to talk however he wanted to talk, but he's like, I am amazing at helping people. And he's like, I just love that. And it was very passionate, you know, about it, but it was just kind of a cool thing where that dude was so aware that his, you know, again, dude was, you know, obviously making money, but the bottom line is he was helping people, wanted to help people, wanted to affect people. And it just, you know, it's what made this dude glow over this, you know, kind of podcast. So that was kind of the thing was, you know, again, I wasn't like, oh, I got to have a life plan or purpose. I have to know my, you know, exactly what my intention was. And again, this was just, you know, hour ago, just sitting there. And then I was like, okay, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm taking care of Zen. I'm working on me. And I'm, you know, trying to help people. Wrap that all, and I'm consistently thankful. And again, you know, here I am with Zen, and it was, okay, here's a bill, $855, you know, come in next Wednesday. And I was like, I'm not going to go on that whole story, but it was that gut feeling I had where I was like, you know, wait a minute, I didn't like this. If this is how long it's going to take me to get a hold of someone, if no one's going to have answers, the answers they give I don't like, I'm just not going to go. You know, I just have this feeling right now, again, no matter what those x-rays showed, Zen's fine. It wasn't going to be like, okay, put him in a cast or do this to him. It's like, no, we might know more of what's happening to him, you know, degeneratively speaking, but he was fine. So me canceling it was just that fear of, okay, well, what if in 2 days he gets hurt? And that was the thing. If I felt that, I would have immediately gone to another vet and said, okay, look, here's the situation. I was at one. I left. I don't know what's up, but I want to find out. But again, I could just tell that Zen was getting better. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, really running zoomies and fast and lifting up his front legs and jumping up to get a treat. And I'm like, okay, this is, again, when I look back on, okay, if you step back like and look at the last year or two, you go, oh, okay, it was this and this and this, and then he was fine, but then he re-injured it, and I didn't really let it heal, and it happened again, and then it happened like the third time, and then we went in, and if you look over that whole course of time, it's probably 3-4 months, and this last, I would say, it's probably almost 2 months, well, I can't say that lately, because he's been, you know, feeling great, and running, and doing zoomies, but, you know, for a solid month and a half, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep his interaction little, I'm going to keep, you know, just keep him a little bit mellow. He doesn't need to be going nuts. And if he can walk, I'm completely happy. If we can go on dog walks, I'm completely happy. So that was much more of a concern for me. So I'm just like, I walk out, and like the first day I was just, every time we walked out of the house, I was like, thank you. Cause we walked out on the steps and he did them. I'm like, I just like, oh. Cause then he's hurt. I just, you know, that's it. If you can't, you know, if your dog can't step, he can't walk, what do? You know, and if you love your dog like I do, you're like, okay, you stay at home because you're hurt and I'm going to go have fun. So it's just every day, every moment, I come back from walking. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's healthy. Thank you. His paw's healthy. Thank you. He's feeling good. Thank you, thank you. And I was just doing that every day, every day, every day. And so again, when I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know, I'm starting to feel pretty good. I think my shoulder was what they might consider locked. So every time I did something, no matter what I did, I would just feel this pain, this soreness, this ache. And about a month ago, I said, okay, I'm going to stretch the shoulder. You know, I'm going to put my elbow up in the, you know, kind of like the in the door frame and lean against it. And that was kind of it. Just putting my left arm straight up above my head was tight. So I'm like, okay, put your arm against the wall, lean into it. And I would hold it for like 60 seconds. And I started doing it 2-3 times a day. I was doing that and I was foam rolling it. And that was it for about this last month. And basically, that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years. It's just like that, just kind of rehab and trying to figure out what I can do, you know, trying to figure out what's wrong, what I should do, what's hurt. You know, am I doing something that's hurting it? Because again, my left side was always bad. Well, you know, I'm working on it, and there'll be a little shift. And I can't really tell because it's a small, minor shift. And I'm foam rolling 3 times a day and, you know, stretching my arm. But I could just, there's a little bit, just a little bit, right? I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of improvement. And then I was just like the floodgates open going, okay, this is what I'm doing. So I was pretty content that I wasn't really working out. You know, I wasn't really raising my, you know, heart rate. I mean, I do the jog in the morning and I, you know, definitely is, I jog for, you know, a mile or two. I don't even have a clue what it is. But other than that, my workouts, there's no increased heart rate. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about, that workout that increases my heart rate. I sweat. I'm like, yeah, I feel good. I've not done that. I've not had that experience in over 3 years. So the last 2 days, I have just had less soreness, less tightness, and more mobility. And then my, you know, calves were tight this entire time. And I'm like, okay, I got to stretch this way. And I started doing this different stretch yesterday, which actually kind of felt better. And I'm like, okay, right now, as I sat down to record this podcast, physically, like the tightness, the soreness that I've experienced that's really omitted my ability to work out is decreased dramatically. So I know what I'm doing daily. And I'm sitting down, I'm foam rolling, I'm going to meditate, I feed my, you know, my best friend, he makes me laugh, I'm smiling, I give him treats, he plays again, I'm going to meditate, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm thankful all the time, and now I don't really work on it, it just happens, and I was aware of it, and I walk that way. You know, I know how healthy Zen is right now, and it's super dope, and believe you me, I know how good I feel right now. I mean, there's a little bit of excitement where it's like, wow, what if I was able to kind of, you know, work out? I mean, these are workouts. It's, you know, 30 minutes foam rolling and I'm on my forearms doing a forearm plank like the majority of the time. And I'll do that 2-3 times a day. So, I mean, to me, those are workouts at this point. They're not fun. And I'm not becoming bigger, stronger, faster, but it's what I need to do. It's just like rehab, you know what I mean? You got to do it. It's not fun and it kind of sucks, but you got to do it. But there is an opportunity at the end of that to be better and then, you know, continue. And I thought, well, that would be pretty cool if I could get back to that point where I'm like, wow, I'm working out again. Wow, I'm like, you know, okay, you know, there's muscle. There's muscle coming back. That'd be, you know, again, it would just be cool. All right, Groundhog Day. Popped up on Netflix or something, and I just smiled. Cause I thought I just hadn't seen it or advertised or anything about it, and I was like, why not? Like, I was like, I just didn't care. Like, yeah, whatever, let's just... Because there's like, you know, if I saw like, you know, Caddyshack, okay, I would like, you know, I loved it, but you know, I've seen it a bunch and I'll think through it. Like, how is it going to make me feel now? Do I want to feel that? Do I care? I'll kind of go through that. And I just didn't. I was like, Groundhog's Day, let me just watch it. And again, back in my mind, 2 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Click. And it starts. And it goes on. And if, I'm not going to go into the whole movie. I'm sure you've seen it. Same day kind of happens for this newscaster goes to a small town. They're going to do the unveiling of the Groundhog Day. Does he see his shadow? So there's a camera guy, kind of female producer, and then Bill Murray plays the newscaster, anchorman. And, you know, kind of a pessimistic, negative dude, wants to get in there, do this dumb thing, and get out of town. Well, gets there, and at the end of that day, he wakes up, and it's the same day over. So the first day is kind of like shock, like what is going on? And then the third day, he's like, you know, kind of freaking out. And then the fourth day, he's like, I don't care, I just want to die, this sucks, I'm in hell. And then, you know, and this is what was kind of weird, is like I've seen it a bunch of times, but as you grow and you evolve and you change, like you read a book you read 20 years ago, it'll probably affect you differently. So I wasn't thinking that going into it, but all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I could just tell it was like, okay, well, this is what Bill Murray's, you know, his character's doing now. It's like he starts going, well, what can I get away with? How can I gain? You know what I mean? Like, can I cheat? Can I, you know, get with this girl? Can I, you know, like the external rewards. And he realizes that that's not what's important. And then it's day after day after day where, again, this is kind of like how I felt watching it. People might not, well, I didn't see that. But he starts realizing what's not important, what doesn't last, what doesn't really have any meaning, what doesn't have value. And if it is time, because he just gets the same day over and over and over again. So he's getting time. So if he's getting time, he finally hits the point where he says, well, what I'm going to do with that time is solely up to me. And what I choose to do is what will come back to me. And I will create the experience and the environment that I will now live in day after day after day. And he grew and he learned and he evolved. And he wasn't, you know, really pursuing, like, you know, like the female kind of thing. He's like, how can I help people? Hey, there's these three older women that get a flat tire. I'm going to change their tire. And there's a guy choking and I'm going to save that guy. And I'm going to make sure I'm there. And, you know, he learns to play the piano. And, you know, it was just like this. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, wait a minute. And it hit me. It was like, that's very similar to what I went through. But this was the little twist. I've said a bunch recently, you know, my days are really just blending. You know, I don't do holidays. There's not a ritual on Sunday. I have clients when I have clients. You know, it's like, you know, I'll just go, you know, today, this day, I have a client. I have two clients. And the rest of the day is the same as it was the day before, as it will be the day after. And it was like, I was becoming aware of that. And I was thinking, I'm like, you know, my days are just like, they're just the same. And I don't really go anywhere. And that was the little bit of that content thing. Like, you know, gas is like stupid right now. But it's like, I'm not going, okay, I really need to go to the beach. I'm very passionate about it. And I'm struggling because I'm trying to go. And gas is so expensive. And it's a bat. I'm like, no. You know, there's not that drive to go. And that's kind of diminished, and not in a bad way, like this, the empty thing in my life. It was like the time and the effort, the energy, and then you get there and there's no sand and there's no stones and there's wind. You know, it's just like, well, it's just like I want to be able to be consistent. And again, the things that were consistent were, you know, me evolving, me learning, me, you know, meditating, me reading, and it was working on me, and I didn't really have to go anywhere. Therefore, I didn't have to spend any gas. And I was like, well, that worked out cool. So that contentment of, oh, I don't do that anymore, the birth and the death and rebirth, that, you know, kind of Buddhist philosophy. I'm like, yeah, I don't do that anymore. I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not cutting things out, you know, sacrificing. But I am aware of it. I'm like, how cool is it that I'm not trying to go to the beach twice a week right now? I would kind of roll around and my gas would get low and I'd throw in $40 and it would completely fill it up. And if it was around half, I'd throw in $20. I'd go to the beach, come back and wouldn't need gas. And, you know, I go now and I got to fill it up and I put in $60 and it doesn't even fill it up. You know, so it's like, like it's like crazy. Like it's doubled. You know what I mean? But that's where I was sitting there going, I don't care. It doesn't affect me at all. Doesn't affect me at all. And I was able to focus on, well, what do I really want to do? And I'm like, well, I just have time. And I'm, you know, pretty stoked that I'm not going nuts. Because I've, you know, over the years, I was like, oh, I've got more time. I'm not as busy and, you know, less clients. And then it was, well, you know, now I'm just not going places as much, you know, which was, you know, the beach 2 to 3 times a week, like for years. And all of a sudden it's like, well, that's a whole day. And it's like, well, now that whole day I'm home. And it's just like the day before, I'm home. Now I leave, I go places with Zen, I run errands, you know, we go on hikes. But the majority of the time I am home, and the majority of that time I am alone. And, you know, I go back X amount of time, and any time before that, I'd be like, okay, I would shoot myself. Someone said, okay, this is going to be used. How much free time you're going to have and how much time you're going to be in your head. Because I couldn't be in my head. I mean, I was always in my head, but it was always bad. So I'm fine and quiet. I'm fine being alone. I'm fine not, oh, I got to go do stuff. Because again, I realize, and this is me, I realized I was doing stuff. One, because I could. But two, to stay busy. You know, that I'm going to stay busy so I don't stop and slow down and have to think. But I'm going to stay busy because that's what we need to do. We just need to keep moving forward, keep moving fast, do more multitask. And then at night, stay awake trying to figure out what you can do to improve and make more money and get out of debt and have a good, just, yeah. And I wrote this about the Groundhog Day. I said, why each day to me feels the same, but I'm fine. And, you know, I've mentioned that a couple times, that my good friend Joe got that tattooed in Sanskrit on his arm. We just kept saying it right now. How are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. Just remember that. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I'm very excited, very proud, very, you know, the best feeling I have is what I'm dealing with, you know, mentally not working out for 3 years, mentally like not being around people, not talking to people, being alone, not talking to people for 72 hours straight. You know, that was definitely a challenge, but, you know, I'm getting through it. And then I got through it. And I'm like, look, you didn't do great, but you know, you got through it. And, you know, going through this uncomfortableness and being okay in it, is which I'm highly aware of, then makes it tolerable. Like, I'm like, way to go. You're in this uncomfortable place, but you're not that uncomfortable. I used to yell at my class all the time, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that brings me to my next point. When do we truly go? And this, when do we truly grow? And I couldn't remember who was talking about this. I think it might have been a podcast, but it really hit me. And it was like, yeah, it's just obvious. When I go, okay, if I just start writing down, okay, just list the times when you're like, oh, really affected, really changed, really, yep, took a fork in the road on that day, took a hard right, whatever. Like when you were most impacted by life is when you were challenged, when you hit a hard time. So again, takes a while to get there, wasn't overnight. That's where I kind of am. I'm starting to look like, you know, when life squeezes you, it's starting to teach you something. You know, I had a client I mentioned that might have gotten shingles and ended up not getting shingles. But I was sitting looking back going, okay, well, to me, I know you're not going to slow down. I know you're not going to stop. You're going to keep going. And now you got the weekends busy, and now you got this other activity, and now you got this other, and you're going to keep going. But at some point, if you don't stop, pause, rest, it seems like life does it. And life will hit you. Now, you don't get to do what you wanted to do. You don't get to do what you wrote down. And that hits us. Our brains are just wired that way. What did you lose? What can't you do anymore? You know, just this panic thing. Well, it's like, well, now, right now, where my head is at, like, whoa, wait a minute. Every time you've struggled, you came out better. You know that now. That's, you know, you kind of have that feeling you're going through something, but you know what it is. You have a realistic view. You have clarity. You know you're not going to die. You know, you can kind of feel that tap, tap, tap of that old you and going, yeah, but don't do that. You know, don't hold on to it. You know, let it pass. Go to your gratitude list. You know, there's all that kind of stuff now. So I'm embracing it. And this is kind of what I wrote down with my notes. So it's like a flower. I've said this quote a bunch of times. When does a flower's roots grow the most? During a storm. Why? Well, there's the wind and the rain and all that external tugging and pulling. And the roots have to grow deeper and grab on to secure that the flower doesn't get ripped out. What happens when the roots grow deeper and grab on tighter? They get stronger. What happens? Flower stays, flower grows, flower gets bigger. So in a storm, that's when we're going to grow the most. And I wrote down 1, embrace, 2, have faith. And that's kind of what I've gained now. You know, is that faith going, okay, you didn't have this, you know, just go flat tire. You didn't have that written down. It wasn't on your to-do list. It wasn't in the plan. Your whole day has probably changed. So what are you going to do about it? And, you know, over time, you start, that's the great thing is I don't really bum out about my age at all. Like, I like what I know. I love how I feel. You know, I'm like, I've never got that. You know, I never got to feel comfortable and have this kind of conviction and confidence and not care a whole lot, you know, about a bunch of stuff that I used to, you know, really, really care about. So just having the faith that, hey, this is me now. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to let that throw me. I'll get through it. Why there's more peace. Why I'm more content. And so that first step, that you embrace it. You know, okay, this happened, but look, I was listening to this podcast, and this dude's been through a bunch of stuff, and every time he was tested, challenged, he had to dig down. And looking back, hindsight, it's just historical data of proof that when he grew the most, it's when he was challenged. And he shares that on his podcast. So I began my third book, which is The Hero with 1,000 Faces by Joseph Campbell. And it's a heavy book, not weight-wise, but it's deep. Mosher gave me a challenge. but in it, and it was like a newer edition book, where there's, is it more notes, more story notes, something like that. And this was something I was, you know, going along reading, and I just couldn't believe it, because I had told Mosher a couple times. I said, you know, it feels like things appear on my path that I need, or that will get me to that next level. That I'm like, you know, oh hey. I happen to have this friend that reads a lot, and I thought, you know, I should start reading, and he started telling me what books to read, and then bump, 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 fast forward, like, oh, and then I started listening to this podcast, and then I found this, and then I said, oh, you know, it's important, I should meditate, I read this book, I heard this podcast, and I applied this. It's like, you know, being led down a path, you know, completely in the school of Tom. And then I read this. So there's a list. I can't remember, and I won't even be able to explain it, but the first great stage, that of separation or departure, will be shown part one, chapter one, and five subsections. The call to adventure, 1, 2, refusal of the call, 3, supernatural aid. And behind the supernatural aid, it says, the unsuspected assistance that comes to one who has undertaken his proper adventure. Like, when I read stuff like that, I literally go nuts. I'm like, come on. Like, this is why I'm going to keep reading. Like, you can just get this. And that's what I love. You know, I got pretty old without reading, without being highly intelligent, without like talking to a bunch of really intelligent people or anything like that. So what was in my head was always kind of there and just kind of grew from me. And I started applying it and I started making choices and doing things and, you know, building up some sort of message where I would go, okay, I'm going to have a podcast and here are the things I'm going to say. And then I start hearing and reading and I'm like, wow, like there's people that are super intelligent and people like monks that are kind of doing, talking about, saying the things that I do and I talk about, I experience. But I was completely blown away because it was just worded perfectly. That unsuspected assistance that comes when you've undertaken your proper adventure. It says proper adventure. I don't know why, but I loved that. Proper adventure. So, and again, there's this part of me that's sitting back going, okay, now you meditate twice a week. It took you 6 months to read your first book. You loved it, but you weren't that, you know, consistent. And you kind of take time off. And then all of a sudden you got your second book and you read that in about a month. That's going to take me longer to read the Joseph Campbell one. But it was just like, okay, all these things are just, you know, happening, you know, clicking along. So on one of the podcasts, I think it was at Gary Vee, and this is a really super successful dude, and I just loved what he said, because when someone who's, you know, he can start businesses and make money, and he does that, but it's not his focus, and when he's really looking, you know, deep at life, you know, his core, you know, would come out. And he says, you know, I run into this woman and I go, are you happy? She goes, yeah, I'm really happy, but I don't make a lot of money. And he goes, that is why we need to redefine what success is. You know, she's a, you know, mom, this, that, happy, you know, everything's great. Just, yeah, I don't make a lot of money. It's like, well, yay, you know, you won. You're successful. Like, but it's just drilled into us. Yeah, but more money. Yeah, but if I made more money, yeah, I should make more money. How do I make more money? I got to make more money. Uh-oh, I'm making less money. It was just, again, it was just something like when I love, again, wasn't listening to podcasts, and now I'm, you know, kind of listening to two. And you listen to these people, and again, someone who is super successful, but really sane. That, you know, what most people are chasing is because they have the, you know, inaccurate definition of what success is. And so that moment was at, you know, I started really looking, and I've kind of said this before, like I'm semi-retired in a positive way. You know, I'm living a life I won't have to retire from in a positive way. The flip side of that, the fear of that is, well, you're not preparing for retirement. You know, how are you going to make money the rest of your life? And da, 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 da. Again, to me, that's just worry, doubt, fear, and things I can't control in the future. But what I'm doing now, how I'm living now, you know, I mean, I, you know, didn't write this in a note and I hadn't really said it, but You know, if I died tomorrow and look back, I would be like, I was completely successful. I wasn't in debt. I paid all my bills on time. My dog was super healthy. I was super healthy. Our connection was ridiculous. You know, I was, you know, being of service to my dog, you know, being service, you know, to people trying to help them on my podcast. And then, you know, do charge for clients. But what's the goal of my clients? Trying to help them, trying to better them. And then I got to live by example and, you know, make these choices, not for them, but, you know, I am working really hard on me, but that does allow me to then tell them, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm not just talking. I'm walking the walk. But then I get to do that and I get to see it. And okay, look at, you know, a picture of your life right now. And I'm like, yeah, totally successful. And I don't think I'd listen to someone if they told me, well, here's why you're not. I definitely wouldn't believe anybody if they said you weren't successful. Because again, most people are going to be like, well, here are the criteria. And I'm like, yeah, I chased those criteria. I didn't, and I wasn't successful. You know, I made more money, had more stuff, had more people in my life, had more relationships. But all I've talked about on this episode is how content I am, how peaceful I am. Now, I didn't have that. Ever. Like, I didn't even know that was possible. I've never had that experience of having a quiet mind, being content, being at peace, not caring. I've never felt like that in over the last 7 to 9 years, it's gotten better and better and better and better to where it's like, yeah, this is what I do. I'm not going to change. I don't have all the answers. I don't have perfect days, but yeah, I feel I am successful. And here's a big reason why I feel I had this thought. Why is there that, like, I feel like you get, you know, 2020, I was like, I like Tom. I'm like, you like Tom? What, you didn't like me before? And I'm like, well, I never thought about it. But it was that, well, don't be so judgmental. Don't be so critical. Okay, you got a temper, but wow, you work on it. Wow, you hate how that feels. Like, look what tools you've developed to combat your anger. You know, so it was like, way to go. And best year of my life. Everything changed. I awoke. And when I fast forward now, it kind of came to me. I was talking to a couple clients, and I'm like, you know, you're going, this is that, and that's this, but I still don't do that, and I got to work on this. And, that, you know, it's like this, it's a judgmental view. It's a judgmental vista. It's not, wow, I'm so thankful. I can't believe what I've accomplished in the last 3 years. Look how good I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Like, look at the things I do differently. Look the good. Like, I can't believe my cup overfloweth. They could talk like that. But it's this checklist of here's what I used to do, and I want to feel this, and so I'm looking at what I'm doing, and it's okay, but I still need to improve more. There's things I still need to work on. I'm like, yeah, you're going to work on you if you want the rest of your life. Yay. It can't be this negative thing. And here's a big example. 2 days ago, I think, I don't even know, my days all blend together, Groundhog Day, I didn't want to do nothing. I did the morning jog. I came home and I'll, you know, kind of make my morning coffee. I might go sit outside for a little bit and kind of come in and do the little foam roller and then do the play in and then do the feeding and then play some more and then meditate. I'm like, yeah, no. The day when I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do it. Didn't meditate. Then it passed the time where I was going to read. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to. And at the end of the day, I didn't do one thing. I didn't read. I didn't write. I didn't meditate. I foam rolled. I think kind of by the end of the day, and it was kind of like a yucky feeling. Like, not again, so light. But it was just like, you know, just a little... just a slight irritation and no clue. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I didn't. And when I woke up Monday, of this week, I went back to everything. Got up, ran, came home, walked in the door, foam rolled, fed, played, meditated, came back, went outside, read, just boom, 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 boom. I was just like, how cool is it? And I was highly aware, like, I do everything every day, just about, but always asterisks, follow it with, well, I'm not perfect. And there was an example, but I had not done that in a month. Like, since I had kind of started doing the twice a day meditating and all that stuff, I was just kind of doing it. And then one day, I think it was Sunday, it was Saturday or Sunday, and I went, yeah. And I didn't care. I watched some TV. I still had to go, walks in, but I didn't put him in the car and go on any, we're going to go to this place or that place, which is kind of a bigger trip, like a hike or something like that. And I didn't. And that was one of those things like, oh, you know why I am so content? I'm not judging myself because I know I'm not perfect. I know what's in my head. I know what was in my head. I definitely know what's in my head now. So to have that acceptance and the ability to just embrace and let go and not hold on to and then not judge and then not critique. I'm not expecting myself to be perfect and be, I know who I am right now and I like me. My good highly outshines my bad, and I'm going to stay right there until I die. Fact. But I know I'm going to get even better. I know I'm going to. And that's what's completely happening. There's just no doubt in my mind I'm better now than I was a month ago. A month ago. Like, that's what kind of makes me excited. Like, I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know I was going to, get momentarily blocked off social media and that was gonna just spur this whole thing, this whole kind of new level of growth. And with that, again, been talking about meditating for a long time, like that's what kicked in finally, caused me to start meditating consistently. Like, didn't plan that. Like, wow, that's, I'm reading, what, I'm on book number 3, who is that? So I wrote this down with the judgmental thing. To me, it's this basic. If you're going to critique yourself and you're going to judge yourself and you're going to stay on your back, it's like getting up every day and going, okay, should I carry the 5-pound pack or should I carry the 50-pound pack? I'm going to take the 50-pound pack. Like, why would you do that? Well, it's just going to be harder. Okay. You can take the 5. No, I'll take the 50. It's like, if you actually knew that, consciously understood that, you could carry this heavy weight with you all day long, every day, or not. And that's what happens when you judge yourself. As soon as you start working on something, that voice will pop in going, yeah, but look how far you have to go. Yeah, what about this problem? You started this one. You forgot about this one, And again, that's the beginning of personal growth. It's like meditating. I'm going to try it. And you sit down and you're like, oh my God, my brain is a mess. You go, I'm never going to revisit. It's the same exact thing. It's the same exact thing. You have to start and you have to know you're a beginner. But that's, kind of that word, that faith, that it will get better if I do these things. I did this little thing, A, and I felt B. Okay, there's the breadcrumb, which will lead you to the truth of who you are, your existence. And then maybe one day just sit back and go, oh, here's why I'm here. Here's the 3 things I'm doing. And I'm aware of those 3 things. Checking that. Recorder, see if she's still working. She, I don't know why I called her. It happened. So, last couple notes. I had a client who got that hernia, and I wanted to share my last conversation. And I said, here's a hypothetical. You know, if someone comes to me and says, okay, I want to lose weight, and, you know, we start talking about all that, my goal I would share with that person is, if you're serious, let's shoot for 2 pounds a week. You know, it's kind of what I would kind of shoot for in the past. So I said to this client, who now, if he gets surgery, he should lose weight and eat better. If he doesn't have surgery, he should, like we've been working on for a long time, continue to eat better and lose weight. But because of the news of the hernia, I thought, well, now we need to. You need to just, you know, pull up the bootstraps, you know, and just do it. We just got to start. And I had some real, you know, like this, and he's nodding his head and agreeing, and yep, the time is here. And, you know, he's got an obese father that's got a bunch of health problems. And I'm like, look, fork in the road, you know, here's, you know, Titanic got 7 warnings for icebergs. Here's your first red flag warning that you're headed towards where your father is. So you can move, do the, you know, turn your direction, shift your direction, change route now, and maybe avoid the iceberg. Maybe avoid all this bad that's coming to the unhealthy version of you. I said, so write this down. 1 pound a week, 4 pounds a month, 6 months, 24 pounds. I go, by the end of the year, you could weigh 24 pounds less. And I said, just like 20. I said, we're right here at June. I said, by the end of this year, you could be 20 pounds less, which is that, maybe a little bit more, all he needs to lose. But he's never done it. But he needs to do it. And I said, so here's the thing. You need, and I've never said this before, you need to lose 1 pound a week. And we talked, this is kind of midweek when, you know, we had started, and I told him, this is what we're going to do, and this is the plan. And he said he was like only down like 0.5 pound for this week or whatever. And I said, well, when we talk next week, you're down 2 pounds. And he looked at me, and he was, you know, didn't really object. And I said, and here's a story I want to share with you. What do you think about it? I was in wrestling, and we'd be going, driving on the bus to another high school for a wrestling tournament, and someone was trying to cut weight. They'd have a bunch of clothes on, and they're spitting in a cup, in a can, chewing gum, spitting. They could lose 1 pound or 2 by the time they weighed in. So I said to my client, I go, you know, we roll around next Wednesday, and you wake up and you weigh, and you weigh in. And I'm like, you know, Case, I'm not saying I need to do that, but I'm like, if I want your mentality to be that, you know, this wrestler, you know, we were wrestling. I mean, I never had to, you know, make weight. I was always at that weight where I was at. But, you know, it's like, I'm driving to wrestle. I want to wrestle. What do I have to do? All right, wear these jackets and pants and sweatpants and sweat clothes and chew gum and spit in a can. Okay, I'll do it the whole way. You know, 0.5 pound gone just in the, you know, drive over there. I was like, well, someone wants to lose weight. I was like, well, if you, you know, take in less calories and you move more and you burn more calories, well, you lose weight. And if you're not, it's like, well, to figure something out, you got to move more or eat less. Like, you might have to feel hungry. But he was just clocking because he knows it. He got the, okay, here is potential bad news. And it's not going to get better. You have the ability right now to change the direction of your life. You can. Like, you can just wake up today and go, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to do this every day. That changed the direction of your life right there in that moment. But it was like the first time I'd ever, like, you know, put the screws in. I'm like, look, this is it. And that was like that you thing. It's just on you. You could have 10 of me and cheerleaders and coaches and therapists, but we're still not going to be with you 24/7. And there's moments you're going to be alone with the thoughts in your head And if you're not able to control those, probably not able to control other things like mindless eating. So we need to be in a good place, on top of things, feeling good and highly aware. And the great thing I say to all my clients, and I've said this a lot lately, I never tell people anything like, oh my God, I've never, it's every stuff that they know. Things that they've thought about, things that they know they need to do, but they're hearing it from a other voice, an external voice. So it's like, okay, I'm not the only one. Okay, yep, you're right. I agree. That's how I, you know, it's like that. It's like the reminder. I never say anything where a client's like, wow, I've never thought of that before. You know, I'm like, this is what you need to do. This is what you wanted to do. This is what you told me. This is what's on your heart. I can tell, you know, I know. And now you got that red flag. We need to switch direction right now, right? Yep. So you're going to lose a pound a week, right? Yep. So we come up next Wednesday and you weigh in. That's what it should be, right? Yep. There it was. But I'd never had that conversation before. But that time had come. This is the last two things kind of coming together. Like I wrote this note down, I'm like, I don't miss social media at all. Like, again, I just have that experience of before, so it is not foreign to me. And there's times where I'm like, oh my God, I should take that video of Zen and share it. But the majority of it is like, I still love my moments with Zen, even though I'm not sharing it. I love the moments I'm experiencing in my life, and I'm not sharing any of them. Like, I love my home right now more than I've ever loved it. And I'm not, you know, taking pictures of it and sharing it. And that, again, is that cloud right now. And Mosher had a quote. He was talking about something. And he said, I stayed in the discomfort. And I just, I love that. I love that. And again, my message today, when you're going to grow the most is when you're challenged, when you hit that moment of uncomfortability. Do you stay there? Do you run away? Do you flee? Or do you go, okay, this is typically when I learn, so I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay in this uncomfortableness. And that's what I did when Zen got hurt 4 years ago. I'm like, all right, he ain't going anywhere. I didn't go anywhere. That was completely uncomfortable. But I said, I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to go places and do things and go to the beach and go outside without you. I'm just not going to. And there was no, oh, I'm going to be the winner out of this deal in my head at all. I just knew what I wasn't going to do or what I was going to do. And it was not, you know, for an outcome. But the whole thing today, you know, about being uncomfortable and kind of like being okay with it and then, you know, actually pursuing it. You know, I'm foam rolling not for fun. I never get on the foam roll. I'm like, oh my God, this is the best time I've ever had. It's completely pursuing uncomfortableness, discomfort. But I've done it so much that now that search for that discomfort leads to comfort. And that's mentally ingrained in my head. So I'm doing it so the end result is what I've accomplished. And then I thought about the podcast. I was like, I like where it is. It was just like that feeling of going, oh, you know what? All right. You just needed to remind yourself you are sharing your experience. You were lucky enough to start it when you did. And you got this historical data, this 7-year journey. And now you just get to share the good part, and it doesn't matter where it goes. Just keep doing you. And I'm like, well, that would be my message to anybody. And that set in. Like, I've had total peace since I made that decision. And I was coming over to record, and I'm like, and they're like, I like the podcast. It's mine, you know? And, it's my story. Nico's my little buddy on my, you know, podcast journey, helping me out. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just my story. And one day I said, hey, I'm going to record and share my story. And I could have stopped year 2, 3, 4, 5, and all of a sudden here I am, and I'm like, wow, it's the best it's ever been. And I get to share it. But it's got this history. And it's got this beginning, middle, and now kind of, you know, the end, but the end I'm enjoying, and I can keep doing this. So there's this real peaceful, content feeling as I came over to record. You know, I filled out my little dry erase board and had all my notes, and I was like, okay. And I was like, there was just this, you know, I don't like to use the word happy, but it was just this peaceful, content, joyous feeling. Like when Zen eats and he's so happy, my heart's filled. And I'm like, I get to come over to my desk and I have all the equipment and I have my notes and I get to just share. And I'm just not ever going to lose sight of that. That's what I've always done. That's what I'm good at. That's what I like to do. That's what I enjoy to do. That's what fulfills me. That's what keeps me going. And you know, it is. It's now looking like everything I do is kind of on those 3 points. Take care of Zen. Continue to grow and evolve. And help others. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Like I said lately, I can do today as good as anybody. But I can do those. And to be that content, that peaceful, have that clarity, and it be that simplistic. I mean, if I was talking to them, like, yeah, you're hugely successful. Keep doing what you're doing. So my hope, as always, something resonates from my story that you take a piece from. Like me, when I'm listening to that podcast or reading a book, I'm like, oh, that thing, that one piece, you know, that new thing, that confirmation, that, oh, well, they did that. What if I applied that in this way, you know, and related it to my life in this, you know, way, you know, just that kind of stuff. That's all I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. And I'm just crazy thankful that I get to. You know, that was a big, you know, underlying all of it. How I got here was gratitude. Like, I wake up and I'm happy and I'm thankful and I'm healthy and Zen's healthy and, you know, feeding him. And I got this moment and I'm meditating and I'm present and I walk over and I got this and I'm like, yeah, I just, if I am as successful as I feel I am, therefore I must be hugely grateful. Because, you know, all the things that have happened, you know, my sister's not here, my first dog is gone, and I could have made different choices. But to experience what I'm experiencing, that's come to my well by the water I sell. That's what I'm trying to sell. That's what I'm trying to offer. If I can do it, anyone can. If you'd like to chat, if you'd like to share, if you have any questions, comments, or you'd like to become an official client, holler at me, proupodcast@gmail.com. I'm no longer on social media, so you can't contact me that way, but it'll be straight through that email, proupodcast@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. And again, in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? You have just a question. You just wanted to share something. You know, wanted to ask me some questions about training. Whatever it is, holler. I am here and in a good place, and I am very capable of helping people. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being the ones that listen, because you are supposed to be the ones that listen, because you are worth it. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to your Pro View Moments. Stoked you're here. Let's begin to control the things that we can. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can. Eyes closed, neutral neck. Shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose slowly. We'll allow the exhale out the nose, out the mouth. Pardon me. Allow the exhale out the mouth slowly. This ebb and flow of your breath is what we will stay focused on to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. Anything enters the space between your ears, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. Congrats. It's a big deal. Even though it was a little moment. It was a little moment for you. And those done repetitively, consistently, are what truly matter along your path. not be perfect, but it will be yours. And it will be up to you what you choose to do. I just have this. Just deep, deep feeling that I was supposed to walk this path and then share this path. Not that I was supposed to become rich and famous doing it, but I truthfully believe that what I'm doing right now is what I'm supposed to be doing. And what I'm sharing is what I'm supposed to be sharing. And that's, it's like finding the truth. And that just allows for peace and contentment. And I've just said this so many times, if I can achieve that, if I can feel that, if that can be my new experience, then anyone can do it. And I believe that in my heart. Peace and God bless.